Obama. Today, I voted for my husband. Yes, I could go on and on and on and on, but here's what I really want you to tell them. You tell them that Barack Obama knows the American dream because he's lived it. The stock market has doubled. Exports have grown by 45%. Manufacturers have added 500,000 jobs. We've had 31 straight months of private sector job growth, a total of 5.2 million jobs created under this administration. Good jobs right here in the United States of America.
You want more of the same? Go ahead. You want something different? You want a better, more prosperous future? Vote for Mitt Romney. Yeah. Mitt's prepared. Mitt's confident. Mitt's got a good presence about him. And Mitt's running because he believes in America.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we tee it up with the true insiders at Talk Radio News when it comes to the business of Washington and really beyond the bounds of the Capitol. Everybody's, of course, getting ready for the election. It's less than a month, do you believe it? And then I looked at my calendar today and I realized also there's only 76 days before the end of the year. Victoria Jones joins us now. It's ghastly to think of 76 days, Victoria. I'm not ready for the holidays, are you?
Do you have to say that even? Do you just go there?
I'm sorry.
It's awful.
It is awful. It's awful when
it really
is. It's because it's too soon. My head is still in the summer. I don't understand. But now for the politicians, their head can't be in the summer or thinking ahead of the holidays because the focus has to be on this election. Both wives were out today. The First Lady, Michelle Obama, and Ann Romney stumping for their husbands. Do you think the First Lady, if she has a likability factor, do you think that helps the person who wants to be president or the person who is president a lot?
Yeah, I think it makes a difference. I mean, I don't think it makes a difference in every campaign, but I think it can make a difference. I think it's making a difference this year. I think it makes a difference for the president because Michelle Obama is tremendously popular and she's very popular with Democrats. And I think it makes a difference with Mitt Romney too, because I think Ann Romney's liked by the Republican base too. So I think it's helping both of them, yeah.
Now we know that, of course, we know all along the swing states, Ohio and Florida and Virginia playing heavily into this. People are talking about Nevada. What's your gut tell you now at this point? I tell everybody, what's your litmus test? I ask the listeners that. How do you feel? Not even necessarily your ideology or your politics, but what do you think's happening?
I think that there's a lot of churning going on, you know, like the seas churning. There's a lot of change. I think that the changes in the state polls, I think states that were once sort of leaning Obama are now leaning Romney, like Florida, for example, which I think it might even go Romney. And I felt that for some time. But I still think that nationwide there's a trend towards Obama. And I think that if he puts in not a workmanlike performance tomorrow night, Tuesday night, that's not going to do it. He's got to do really well. He's got to show vision.
Yeah, vision. Yeah, and after this one, then there's another, of course, presidential debate. So that's three. And I was going through in my head, and some of the listeners, we were doing it together. We were talking about some of the big debates that have happened in the past, and some of those key moments where, ooh, you knew they said the right thing, or you knew they said the wrong thing. Who has to you? Who strictly now with the last two has more to lose, Romney or the press?
Oh, I think the president's got much more to lose. I think he's got everything to lose. He could lose everything tomorrow night.
Really, that much? You think there's that much weight on the debates because of all the attention?
Yes, I think there's that much weight on the debates because the election is so close and so much seems to be played out on it. And it's narrowing. You know, the road to victory is narrowing at this point. I think it really is razor edge.
Yeah. I want to just throw this in because you've covered Washington for a long time now. Senator Arlen Specter, did you ever deal with him?
Yes, I interviewed him a couple of times when I was covering the Senate. You know, he'd be having a press conference or be part of a joint press conference. I'd ask him a question or two afterwards. And I always found him a very thoughtful, intelligent man. You know, you'd ask him a question. He wouldn't necessarily give you a talking point answer, but he'd put his head on one side and think about it and then give you a thought-out response that had some intelligence behind it and a bit of brain, and I liked that. I liked that about him.
Yeah, so sad, dying the other day, but had a long battle with cancer, really, off and on. Had licked it a little bit and then had gone back. So, I mean, he kind of became the face of cancer, and he raised some awareness, which I think is always a good thing. The more we push, the more possibilities maybe as we hope to someday, I hope anyway, find a cure. So he did certainly do that. One last one. So now what? The push, you got the debates, the focus is there, and after the debates, then is it just you think it'll just be a flurry of last minute stumping in those key battleground areas?
Yeah, I think it's stumping. And I think it's getting the base out and groundwork. I think there'll be a flurry of ads, but I think it's going to come down to groundwork and getting people to the polls, bearing in mind that there's already early voting going on, so some of this isn't going to matter to some people, but it's getting people to the polls. And then, of course, there's always the unknown surprise that could come from outside. You know, hearing now that the White House is considering a strike against militants responsible for the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens and the three others, if it can track down the perpetrators, according to the AP. You know, so that could be a major deal.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep our eye on it. Obviously, you are too. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Thanks.
Thank you.
Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. October 15th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,749.20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,792.34, $896.17 for a half ounce, or $448.09 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,792.34, $896.17, and $448.09.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
My name is Gary Johnson. I approve this message. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only three will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrats, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote failure back into office again. Live free.
Paid for by GaryJohnson2012.com.
The dogs, and I know you always send in a lot of notes about Mahalo. You see Mahalo, my golden retriever, on camera. And guess what? We're going to talk about the significance of dogs and presidents. First pets, in other words. Jennifer Pickens is in the wing. She's in our virtual green room, and she's just released a coffee table book on the subject of presidents and first pets. How cool is that? So petsatthewhitehouse.com. If you go there, you can check out some of this fun stuff that I'm talking about. Hey, Jennifer, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to say this, too. First of all, I've met the former First Lady, Laura Bush, and she's just terrific. I met her when she was in Austin at the, you know, at the mansion, and Bush was governor, and she's just super, super nice people. What was it like to work for her? I bet it was great.
Mrs. Bush is just fabulous. She's a fabulous first lady and is a fabulous person, and she's a fabulous pet owner. They actually have a brand new cat named Bob at their house, along with their two dogs, Barney and Miss Beasley.
There you go. So that's a crowded house. They got a couple of different pets. So Bob, wonder why they named the cat Bob. There must be a story behind that.
You know, I don't know. I know that Bob was rescued, I believe, from their Crawford Ranch.
There you go.
Heard.
A stray cat. So what made you decide that you were going to do this, do the whole first family and pets and get all the doggy dirt, so to speak?
Well, I feel like I was awfully spoiled growing up. My mom and dad let us have basically any pet under the sun they wanted, and we had all the usual pets, dogs and cats. But we also had some geese and swans and ducks. We even had a barn owl that we had rescued from a deer blind once. So I've always grown up loving animals. And my first book, Christmas at the White House, I kept gravitating to all these wonderful pets, especially during the Bush years, with a lot of the first animals, especially Barney and Miss Beasley. They were so active during Christmas because of the Barney Cam.
Right.
And so I just, you know, before we even finished Christmas at the White House, we already had pets at the White House in the works.
Very nice. All right, so you've got some good stories, and we want to hear some of your stories. Tell us about President Ford and getting locked out of the White House and what happened there.
Oh, I mean, there's so many great stories during the Ford administration. They had a wonderful golden retriever named Liberty, who is absolutely just the sweetest dog, from what I understand. And she was expecting puppies while he was president. And being such a good dad and pet owner that President Ford was, when she came and looked him in the face at 3 a.m, the president got out of bed, took Liberty out onto the south lawn to do her business. And when she was finished and they turned around to come back inside, the president was locked out. And Mrs. Ford talked about this in detail in her memoirs. And, you know, they kept trying to get back in. They couldn't. They start making their way up to the staircase with poor Liberty carrying 9 puppies in her belly about to give birth. And he got all the way back upstairs, still couldn't get in. And it wasn't until they got all the way back downstairs that finally the Secret Service had figured out the president was locked out of the White House with his dog. So that was a favorite
that's
story.
That's a good one.
Yes, and, you know, I have to say, in researching the book, one of the funniest things I came across was when Liberty did have her puppies. People were asking their congressmen to see if they could help secure a puppy. So there were letters of recommendations about constituents from Senator Dole and Strom Thurmond and others trying to secure a puppy for their district.
You got to love that. It would be fun to trace those puppies to see where they went. How about, you know, this is always a big deal, the pardoning the turkey before Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. And you mentioned Barney a couple times. Didn't Barney get kind of into trouble with the whole turkey thing?
He did. That has been a favorite story for sure. On the day that President Bush was pardoning the turkeys in the Rose Garden, he was in the middle of a briefing in the Oval Office, and a lot of the usual staff at the White House was out that morning. Dale Haney, the White House horticulturist, is kind of known as the dog handler. And even though the dogs were loose in the Rose Garden, when the turkey people showed up and saw the dogs, it didn't seem to faze them, and they went ahead and let the turkey out. And the dogs started going ballistic. Feathers were flying everywhere. And the president had a burst out of his meeting in the Oval Office to actually rescue the turkey. So he rescued Flyer the turkey that day actually twice.
Is there a particular breed that the president seemed to gravitate toward or no?
No, there's really not. I mean, you see a lot of retrievers. I mean, Nixon had King and his favorite Irish setter and, you know, Liberty, the golden retriever. The Scotty dogs have been very famous. Fala and President... FDR's favorite presidential dog was so famous and known to be such part of the Roosevelt administration, she was actually deemed a security risk at one point by the Secret Service. So it's fun to see, you know, the Scotty dogs come back again with the Bushes. And, you know, a lot of, just again, a lot of retrievers. You see the Springer Spaniels with Millie, who's probably one of the most famous White House pets of all time, Barbara Bush's dog, who also had puppies at the White House. And a little bit of trivia for you. When Millie had her puppies, she had one that was named Spot. And Spot came to live in Texas with President George W. Bush. So when he was elected to the Oval Office, she went back to the White House with him. So she is the only dog to live at the White House under two different administrations. And the executive resident staff there said they were very excited to see their friend return to the White House.
Yeah, how about that? You know, it's funny. I was looking at your book in the Kennedy years. Boy, they had a lot. I was looking at the names: Clipper, Shannon, Wolf, Tom Kitten,
yes.
Bluebell, Maybell. Oh my goodness, Macaroni, a Leprechaun.
Yes.
You gotta love those names. So many.
Yeah, you do. And the Kennedys probably had one of the largest menageries of pets of all times, other than probably Teddy Roosevelt at the White House. And the most famous story from the Kennedy years, people have forgotten we were in the middle, you know, on the brink of the Cold War during the Kennedy administration. And the premier of Russia gave Caroline Kennedy a puppy named Pushnika while she was living at the White House. And Pushnika was very famous because she was the daughter of Strelka, who was one of the first dogs to go into space by the Russians. And when Pushnika arrived at the White House, they couldn't let Caroline keep her until she'd been sent to Walter Reed Medical Facility to undergo testing to make sure she didn't have any hidden listening devices, bombs, germs, or anything else that could harm the first family.
Wow. So, you know, you spent all that time at the White House and doing this research. Was it fun for you to do the research on all the pets?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anytime you're deemed to research the White House, there's always lots of fun things to do. And the White House photographers are such a fabulous group of people. I mean, they really are just so really special to be in D.C., taking care of the first family and capturing these wonderful images. So getting to work with them is such a joy. And one of the things I really do love about the book, not only did Barbara Bush write the foreword, but many first families contributed different quotes to their section of the book, highlighting some of their times there. And one of my favorites was Betty Ford. Before she passed away, she gave us a quote about Liberty and, you know, the comfort she would provide President Ford. And she wrote, "Liberty was Jerry's favorite advisor. She gave him something no one else can share." And I do think that's true about all these, you know, first families. There's that famous quote from Harry Truman, "If you want a friend in Washington, get a dog." And most of the, you know, first families really do find comfort with their pets while they're there. And President George Herbert Walker Bush, or 41, even wrote, "Even on my most difficult and challenging days as president, Ranger and Millie brought me great joy to my life. There is nothing like the unconditional love of a dog to help you get through the rough spot." And I think all the presidents really did find comfort from their pets while they're there.
Yeah. Do the pets, because, you know, the White House, is, as you know, can be a busy place. People popping in, dignitaries, the
right.
Photo ops. Any problems with dignitaries and pets getting loose and getting under someone's feet?
Not necessarily under the feet there's tongue-in-cheek stories about during the Johnson administration that some of the dogs would be running through. But I think, you know, really a lot of the dignitaries loved getting to meet the pets. There's great pictures of Margaret Thatcher with President Reagan in this book, chasing after Lucky, their big dog that ended up being, you know, 80 pounds and was practically dragging Mrs. Reagan across the White House lawn. And I think the first families, you know, Millie was very famous for when people, different dignitaries from around the world would come to the White House. Oftentimes they would want to have a picture taken with Millie because Millie was so famous for having written her book as dictated the Barbara Bush, as they called it. So no, I don't think there is, you know, anything in particular that foreign head of state and necessarily brushing up with a pet and not enjoying it.
you have four daughters and pets. Man, that must be one busy household. Who are your pets? Do you have dogs, cats?
We do. We've got some fish and dogs. We had a golden retriever, but I have to tell you, the book really doesn't appeal. I mean, it appeals to, you know, people that are up right now in the evening that love
right.
It is a coffee table book. But my daughters love this book and love looking at the pictures, and they fell so in love with Millie in you know, the Bush section of the book that we now have a Springer Spaniel of our own named Molly. So
you gotta love that. All right, so pick it up. Pets at the White House is probably a great Christmas gift for sure, as
absolutely.
Jennifer said. It's a coffee table deal. So Jennifer Pickens, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water, but do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for
approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of Better Body Circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Jerry Sandusky, the former Penn State assistant football coach, he gets he's sentenced to no less than 30 years and no more than 60 years in prison. That all happened once again at a hearing on Tuesday. So effectively, that would be a life sentence. Jerry Sandusky is 68 years old. Another part of this is, and remember, he was convicted of sexually abusing 10 boys over a 15-year period. And faced at that point the maximum of 400 years in prison. He was confronted in the courtroom by a couple of his victims, and we're going to talk about that during this segment here on America Tonight. Please welcome back to the show Dr. Nick Pappas. An interesting twist, Dr. Pappas has a new book out called The Dark Side of Sports, and it's chock full of information about coaches' sexual deviancy issues and abuse and that kind of thing. And now some of the things that have changed. And coincidentally, Dr. Pappas played hockey at Penn State, too, and worked summer hockey camps there as well for like 25 years. Dr. Pappas, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me tonight.
So initially, your reaction to Jerry Sandusky's sentence, what do you think, fair or foul?
Well, you know, compared to what the people that abuse children in Canada get, it's a slap on the wrist in Canada from what I've seen some of the coaches getting. So, you know, United States has more stringent consequences for this. And, you know, the only way to stop these practices, these behaviors from targeting children is to, you know, impose harsh consequences. So, you know, it basically, it is what it is. And you know, if you're going to stop it, you have to impose the hard consequences. And this is a step in the right direction for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely a step in the right direction. And it's certainly, and you would know because you address this in your book, this would also raise the antenna up there across America about other things that can happen when it comes to coaches and kids, right?
Exactly. And, you know, since the Penn State scandal broke, I've been kind of informally tracking sexual abuse and or assault cases. And I've compiled over 80, and by this is not complete by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's a lot that I'm sure slipped by, but of the cases, of the over 80 cases I found, 60% involved coaches or administrators targeting underage males or females. So, you know, coaches are right in the mix of these things. And, you know, as recently as last week, I saw some New Jersey teachers, which included a soccer coach, were involved and indicted for having sex with students, female students, and there was a cover-up going on. So extremely disturbing to see more and more coaches at all levels, youth levels, including high school, being exposed in the media for their sexual abuse of underage males and females.
Yeah. In looking at what happened with Sandusky, I think to me the shocking or appalling thing was the tape that was released that he recorded when he was in the cell, and this gets released beforehand and talks about how he's a victim. Is this common? Is this common to the denial thing and to just flip it around when you're the person who's ultimately convicted of such a heinous crime?
You know, whenever you're talking about some of the traits of child molesters, some of the ones that come to mind are there is a refusal to take responsibility for what you've done in many cases, and at the same time a low empathy for being able to put yourself in another person's shoes, the victim's shoes per se, and understand what they're experiencing. So those two traits, in addition to a sense of entitlement that. You're above the law, so to speak, and that's only magnified when you have somebody like an athlete or a coach involved, particularly a prestigious coach with the influence that Sandusky had. And then there's the thing called a need for power and control, and I think these traits are very evident in this case pertaining to it'd be nice that. It's always nice for victims to get an apology, but in this case, that's not forthcoming at all. And sometimes you wonder if a person talks themselves to the point where that inner dialogue that they have, that self-talk, so to speak, is going to such an extent that they actually believe that, they believe what they want to believe when you tell it to yourself enough.
Yeah. What was it that ultimately led to you writing this book on the sexual culture of the elite level athletes?
Well, during my career as a collegiate professional athlete and coach, I saw things, I knew things, you came across sexually deviant things, and these behaviors are and practices, they're flying under the radar because they're not always illegal, they're always harmful, and while they're not resulting in sexual aggression, they can easily cross that line. And a number of athletes I talked to said, hey, I saw what was going on during my career, and they would say, I wanted to write this kind of a book. And most of the guys said, I'm probably not going to ever get around to writing this, but I'm willing to help you by being interviewed. So seeing things, knowing things during my collegiate and professional career as a player and coach, it's not good. It's soiling our athlete culture. It's creating victims. And, it's not being addressed because it's flying under the radar and, definitely needs to be addressed and stopped because, there's a high human cost of it.
Yeah. And people ask this all the time. What causes this? What are the underlying causes of athlete sexual deviancy or this kind of aggression?
That's a great question. And it's not one thing where we can say, okay, here's the influence, we address it, we're good to go, and we'll be able to prevent this stuff. It's basically multi-dimensional influence that are kind of converging together. And I'll identify some of these now. One of them has to do with this thing called athlete or coach's privilege, where it's the idea that, I'm the star. I'm successful. They know who I am. And people have this sense of entitlement. Athletes have this sense of entitlement that they can get away with things. They're above the law. And oftentimes they are reinforced by this absence of deterrence or a lack of consequences, and that just gives athletes and or coaches a green light to continue what they're doing. There's numerous themes in my book that are similar to what went on in the Penn State scandal, where it's a reoccurring theme of the cover-ups. Coaches, administrators looking the other way so they can honestly say, hey, I didn't know what was going on with these athletes, and they mean it. They're honest with this, but this gives a green light for these behaviors to continue. Another trait is this thing called masculinity, and it's a proving thing to have sex with more women than the next teammate. It's very status-producing. The stories, the humor, the entertainment that goes along with it. So there's a lot of bragging and bravado. And, the reality is women are the next sport as soon as the lights turn off after the game or the practice is over. Now you add something called the big alcohol consumption that's very prevalent in the athlete culture, and intoxication is going to make you do things that you'd never do sober. You know, and in addition, athletes are very competitive. They're always trying to outdo each other. That's why they're elite level athletes. So, you know, there's pressure to conform and strong peer pressure to, you know, be on board with some of these behaviors. Now add the component of sexually available females, which I have a chapter in the book, The Dark Side of Sports, about this. And not that sexual deviancy wouldn't happen without the high availability of sexually available females, but it happens that much easier. And then in the end, some of these behaviors do in fact cross the line to sexual obsessions, addictions, and compulsions in some of the guys.
Yeah. How disappointing, I mean, obviously this is a layup question, but it's somebody who's investigated this, went through all this with the book and whatnot, and especially in your profession, but having that tie to sports and specifically having the tie to Penn State, when all this started to happen, it just had to make you heartsick. Did you feel that way?
You know, I did, and people have asked me, you know, did you plan to write the book? How did the timing of the book come? And, you know, I've been working on this book for 12 years, and some of this book was written researched while I was teaching camps at Penn State University. So, you know, as somebody who'd come in contact with Sandusky over the summers for numerous years, I knew who he was. He knew who I was without actually meeting him. You know, their group, Second Mile, would stay in the same dormitory as my hockey players, just on different floors. So I was interacting with the counselors from the Second Mile. And then to hear these allegations come out at first, and then to see this resulted in a conviction, you know, very disturbing for not only myself, but other coaches who work the camps with me, as well as other coaches who are on campus, you know, coaching at the intercollegiate level. So, very, very, disturbing to find this information and to see, you know, that this seemingly great cause was used, in a very, very destructive and negative way.
Yeah. Dr. Nick Pappas, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with the book.
Thank you for having me on your show. And please check out my website, www.drnickpappas.com. It has extensive information about my background, the book, The Dark Side of Sports, the presentations that I promote to athletes and coaches and teachers as well.
Yeah, pick up the book, absolutely. Doc, thanks. We'll have you on again, hopefully under better circumstances, but we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Kate.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love Camel Milk.
Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world.
Camel Milk has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try Camel Milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The Camel Milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there. Too ill to do anything.
Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins, and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel Milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for Camel Milk, the best kept health secret ever.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You might put your love and trust on the line. It's risky. People love to tear that down. Let
so Michael Vick gets a dog. What do you think of that, America? You know how I just went crazy on the Michael Vick story a couple of years ago. And in fact, let me throw out the numbers if you want to ring in on this one. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Tanya Marchio is in the wings in our virtual green room, and I think she feels like I do. She's the CEO of Team Investments, but this is the big thing. She's got three canines, three dogs, and she is super, super active with the North Shore Animal League America. And, of course, I have my Mahalo, my golden retriever, and I just don't understand how somebody could do what they did to dogs and then do the mea culpa thing. Hey, he did serve his time and all that, but then get a dog. I don't know. Does anyone else think this is a big deal? Tanya, I know you think this is a big deal. Is it just shocking that he's allowed to own a dog?
It's appalling that he can have a dog. I've equated it to a recovering drug addict putting him in a situation with drugs or a recovering alcoholic and putting alcohol in his hand. There is something to say about Michael Vick pulling himself up from his bootstraps. And yep. America is a country that gives everybody second chances. And we gave Michael Vick a second chance at football and at life, and he has been extremely successful, and kudos to him for that. But absolutely having a dog, that is the worst thing that I think I have ever heard. So he said that it was for his daughters, and he wanted his daughters to grow up and love animals. Well, being a representative of North Shore Animal League America and knowing that there is over 8 million animals in shelters every year and 4 million of them are euthanized, there would be no better lesson for his daughters than to go down and play with all the dogs at the shelter and him never have another dog.
Yeah, wow, 4 million are euthanized?
4 million animals are euthanized, yes, every single year in shelters. And that's what's so great about North Shore, though. You know, they are the largest no-kill shelter in the world, and they adopt out. I was down for their adopt-a-thon a couple months ago, and they adopted out over 576 animals in a weekend. And, you know, they screen every single home, and they make sure that these animals are going to loving homes. And it's just such a phenomenal organization. When they asked me to work with them, I was a little bit scared because I thought, you know, my emotions and seeing these animals and in cages, you know, the terrible commercials we see, right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
They're great. But when I went down to North Shore, honestly, it was just the best thing because these animals are going home and they're loved and they're walked and they're played with. And, you know, how great would it be if he really has changed for him to get in there and show his daughters what it's really all about and make sure that they understand the rotten things that he did to dogs, not just fought them, but electrocuted them and drowned them. I mean, these are creatures that don't have a voice, and we give them a voice by getting them a second chance at life, you know, give them another home, so on and so forth. And I really think about the dogs that got rehabilitated out of that situation and are in loving homes now, and yet Michael Vick is going out and getting other dogs. This is just absolutely insane.
Yeah, I agree. The dog fighting thing, when that happened with Michael Vick, it did one thing. It certainly shed a big or shined a big spotlight on dog fighting in this country and other things that were happening to dogs. So at least there was something where people that weren't aware were like, whoa, you have to be kidding me. Do you think it's gotten any better from the dog fighting perspective? Do you think more people are backing away from that or no? That's just, hey, the people that have that in their blood that want to do that, they're just going to do it.
You know, unfortunately, I think that is a culture that needs to change, and they need to understand that this is life, and this is not a sport by any means. We have fantastic sports. We have football and baseball and basketball, and, you know, if you feel the need to bet on something, do it with those things. But to actually go in and do something so brutal as to fight a dog and train, you know, the thing that absolutely breaks my heart is not only the fighting, but the way that they train them and treat them and just, I mean, they ruin their mentality. And the fact that some of those dogs came out and went into loving homes and were completely rehabilitated and are family dogs now shows you that it is absolutely not the breed of the dog. It is not the pit bull. It is not the Connie Corsos, which I have three laying by my feet right now, and they're each 185 pounds. It is the way that you train them. So don't look at the breed itself. Really look at the way that the dog is being trained.
Yeah. When you know, you talk so passionately about the idea of the shelter and, of course, how many dogs are in the shelters, dogs and animals, how many there are. What are things that people can do that are listening in all kinds of places across the country and even other places? What can they do to try to prevent animal abuse? Is there anything that you can do?
Well, I think number one, first and foremost, report it. You know, I'm sure that there were people that knew exactly what was going on down there at Michael Vick's compound, and nobody ever said a word. But report it. Don't be afraid to report it. And the big thing that we always say at North Shore is don't shop, adopt. There's so many animals that are being bred wrong or not being spayed and neutered. And just be able to adopt these animals instead of going out and shopping for a specific breed. We like to call the dogs in the shelters Muttigrees. So everybody wants a pedigree, but there's nothing like a Muttigree.
I like that, Muttigree.
Right? So, yeah. You know, my two girls, I have one champion, and he is just fantastic. But my little girls have bad hips, bad eyes, bad everything. One of them just got a cap on their tooth, and so she has a little silver tooth, and they would have been put down absolutely because they were bred wrong. And I love them to death. All three of them sleep with me every night. There's nothing like the love of an animal.
Yeah. Here's something I would say about any animal, and especially with dogs. What I don't understand is when people think, oh, dogs, puppies are so great, just like kids. Oh, it'd be just so great to have a kid. But hello, there is some work involved. And with the dogs, there's people that are irresponsible dog owners, and then what happens is, and sadly, I've seen this, dogs get just left on the street, get thrown out of cars. I don't get that either. I think that if you're a dog owner, then of course there's never going to be a law like this, but there should be some moral compass or law that if for some reason you can't handle the animal, find them a good home.
Absolutely. And being in the real estate industry and the debacle that we've seen happen with all the foreclosures and short sales and everything else over the past couple of years, people would actually leave their dogs just in the house. And the thing is, if your animal is not going to be a part of your family, don't get it. They are a part of our family. They give us love and enjoyment. And, you know, no matter whether you're having a good day or a bad day, I come home and my babies are always right there ready to play or be loved or, you know, just sit at my feet. And really, if they can't be a part of your family and you can't give them that attention they deserve, let someone else do so. But it's horrible to think that these dogs are just left in homes because the family foreclosed or, you know, whatever. And we've walked in. My assistant actually adopted a dog out that was left in a garage in her neighborhood. And she was walking by and the dog was barking and she opened the garage and it was in there and the house had been foreclosed. And it's the sweetest dog ever. It sleeps at her feet every single night. So, you know, really understand that there is a responsibility when it comes to having animals and pets. And if you're getting an animal for your child, make sure they understand that that is their responsibility. This is not just cute while they're puppies. I mean, they turn into dogs and cats and they get old and there's a lot to do with them.
Yeah. You said this before in the discussion. We were talking about breeds. It's not so much about the breeds, but it's about how they're raised and what people do to them. Is there one breed? It seems like there's, you know how it is. Dogs get hot for some reason, whatever it is. And I guess maybe this might be part of the problem. Chihuahuas, because Chihuahuas are in a movie. Dalmatians, the Golden Retrievers, you know, that kind of thing. And then, somebody told me in a shelter, then what you see is you see the pickup on those kind of dogs being left behind, and you get a whole mass of them in shelters because they were popular with a film or television show or whatever. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, and it's unfortunate. You really have to know the traits of your dog because, you know, Dalmatians can have different traits, and that movie came out, and everybody wanted a Dalmatian, and you know, you're right. There was an overabundance and overpopulation of Dalmatians at that point. And it is sad because these breeders don't care. They look at them as money. And that's why if we could really cut out some of that and, you know, have people understand the Mudd-Agree curriculum and how great they really are to have, then some of that would stop. But the puppy mills and all the horrible places that really just don't care for animals and see them as dollar signs, that's really what we need to work on getting rid of and let people really just enjoy having a dog or a cat.
Yeah, so well said. So pay attention. What we're talking about is so, so true. Michael Vick, I shake my head just like you do. We'll see what comes of that. But, boy, when I saw that headline, I was absolutely blown away. And listen to what Tanya is saying. If you want a dog, think about it. Think about the breed. Look up the traits. Do a little homework and make sure this is what you want to do so we don't end up in another one of these situations. Tanya Marchio, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Thank you so much.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.